going to start off the show with a review from Letterboxd. It's a 5-star review for today's film, which is Morbius, whatever the fuck this thing is that we watched. Morbius Obesius. Anyway, review goes as follows. Wow. Heartfelt, funny, beautiful, sad. Morbius has it all. Ever since I was a young child, I dreamed of the Marvel legend, Michael Morbius, to make his debut on the big screen. I'd run into the kitchen screaming, "Father! Father! Have they announced a film about Dr. Michael Morbius yet?" My father would chuckle, put down his newspaper and say, "No, son, not yet." As my life went on, I became afraid I would not live to see the day of Dr. Michael Morbius's theatrical debut. But then the fateful day Venom 2018 released, I knew it was possible. 4 years later, I run into the kitchen. "Father! Father! I'm about to see Dr. Michael Morbius's big screen debut!" But there was no chuckle. Not rustling of his newspaper. My father had died right before I had entered. I had an extra ticket for him. I went to the movie anyways, and I loved it! But I stayed for the big post-credit scene, as any Morbius fan would. And there it was, my own father, who had died and put his soul into the projector as the Vulture. "What's up, Doc?" he said. My own father died so he could help make Michael Morbius even better. God love him. God love Morbius. That's clearly a satirical review, because this movie was a heaping pile of shit.
That wasn't funny at all.
That was funny as fuck.
I thought it was funny.
Oh my god.
The only other review that was good is that I really liked was Jared Leto is a domestic terrorist, which is also true.
Yes. No, we saw Mortis. It was bad. I don't even know. I feel responsible for this one.
Yeah, you said we need to do 100%. A couple more recent films,
this is all your fault, just so you know that.
We did need to do more recent films, because...
We do. I have no doubt. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but maybe ones that don't suck butts.
Well, I took a leap. Well, I knew it wasn't going to be good. I thought at least it was going to be...
Decent.
Funny.
Okay.
No, I thought at least it would be funny.
Oh, like funny bad?
Yeah, okay. It was just...
It was just bad.
It was just horrible.
It was.
This is an hour and 44 minutes. We'll never get back, and I really feel it. Like I really feel like an hour and 44 minutes of my life.
That's
like,
what he said when he walked
soared
out.
Away, and I was just Scott trying was to like, grasp it, and it was just gone.
Yeah, you were like, "Well, that was a waste
like
of my time."
Like a fart in the wind. A fart.
Normally, I would lambast you for such a like Reddit level take of it's time I'd never get back, but I actually agree with you in this instance.
I couldn't tell if it was like trying to be serious or funny, or it was like I didn't know what was going on.
Well, here's the problem with Morcus. It's flabbergasting in a degree, but also like entirely foreseeable. This is like the culmination now of this like Marvel movie kind of whatever schematic that they use,
like,
right?
This is the way that they do make their movies.
Yeah, so this is technically, this is one of the
Super
Sony
formula.
Ones.
Yeah.
This is one of the Sony ones. This is because Sony has long had the rights to Spider-Man and finally made a deal with Disney to do some Spider-Man stuff, which is how come they started bringing Spider-Man into the MCU. But that's also why we've been getting the two Venom movies, this. And now we're also still going to be getting Kraven the Hunter and a Madam Web, and they're making a Silk TV show. All these characters in the Spider-Man universe that none of them are Spider-Man, and Spider-Man has never been mentioned as necessarily being real in this universe until this one at the end. And technically, we don't know if it's real in this universe. Spider-Man even exists in this universe because the Vultures mentioned Spider-Man, and the Vultures from the MCU and not from the Sony universe. But the point being that you start scraping the barrel of fucking people, and especially Sony, because like you're stuck to only using certain Spider-Man characters and not even Spider-Man. So you end up picking a fucking like D-list Spider-Man villain like Morbius. And you try to put the big spectacle on top of all this, but it has none of the culture cachet of anything else. You have to do an origin story, which is like they don't do those anymore in any of these movies anymore, because they rarely introduce new characters outside of just being like having a guy show up in like a random movie and then just giving him his own movie. Like Black Panther. Black Panther just showed up in Captain America, and then they were like, here, have a movie, bro.
No, wait. Morbius is a
Spider-Man villain.
Is an opponent of Spider-Man?
Yes.
He's like an anti-hero kind of thing, you know.
So from
sometimes he's nice.
From a person that, like, let's pretend someone watching this is like me that has no idea what the hell any of this doesn't know.
Sure.
This movie, like, much, I don't know, did it extra suck for me? Or did it not suck as much because I didn't know what was going on the whole time?
No, I mean, it's just bad, you know? This is, like, the kind of what we've finally reached. Like, this is the nadir of these movies. Like, this is truly, like, the worst big-budget movie I've seen in a long time because all these MCU and superhero stuff have gotten to be so cookie cutter.
This movie especially did the thing where the hero, or the at least the, you know, the protagonist fights the same version of himself that is the antagonist.
That's
like Iron Man fought Iron Monger in the original Iron Man, but at least Iron Man was like somewhat entertaining and well acted. The Hulk fights Abomination, which is just Spiky Hulk, you know. It was right. Just vampire fights guy that might have had a thing for him. I don't know. Long-term friend.
A lot of sexual undertones. A
lot of sexual undertones, which would be fine if that was actually explained, except the fact that our villain is basically like maybe was a bad guy with a big brain because he gambled, possibly. We don't know.
Since our hero was Jared Leto, we had the guy who was the antithesis of him, which is a guy that doesn't DM kids.
Oh my god, he does that? Okay.
Jenna,
listen, I don't care about these people, so I don't know this stuff, but...
Are you saying you're not a fan of Jared Leto and his fucking great band, 30 Seconds from Mars?
To Mars?
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's his band.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
What is happening?
Oh, yeah. And he DMs like 16-year-olds, invites them up to his hotel room.
But he also has a cult, right, Scott? You were telling me that.
I don't know. For his band, essentially. Oh. But I'm sure there's some weird shit. Like, he's not like an anthill gang cult where like he's like living in the middle of the Canadian wilderness giving women olive oil enemas, which is a real thing that happened to a cult.
Wait,
like, not
that
cool cult
nuts.
Stuff.
That sounds nice.
Well, they die, but that's beside the point. He's just kind of like, I feel like he woke up one day and was like, I kind of look like a Jesus. And then he was just like, I'm going to be a Jesus.
Who? So he's not an actor?
Jared Leto is an actor.
He is an actor.
He's both. He's an actor, performer, musician,
I'm gonna
multi-instrumentalist,
be honest with you guys, I know,
spiritualist.
I know that this man exists.
Diddler.
And I know what he looks like. And that's it for me. I don't know anything about him.
He's a triple threat in that he's a threat to underage girls, people that have a spiritual yearning, and, well, I guess, you know, emo kids, which is technically just underage girls again. So
I want to say for the record, I know Steve picked this and we agreed to do this. I shoehorned in a theme for this month so that we could also get in a good movie, which we haven't seen yet, but we know it's going to be good because we're going to end the month with The Northman.
Right. I can't wait to go back to the movies and get more gummy worms.
Yeah.
I love to eat gummy
worms.
I'm going to get popcorn.
So we really shoehorned in the theme just so we because we had to do Morbius and we wanted to do Northman. So if you are listening, the theme for April is April appetites, because Morbius likes to drink the blood. The Northman's going to want to have a mouth for war for the Pantera fans out there. And then we shoot in a cannibalism flick and a Hellraiser flick, specifically because we'll have Peter Atkins on next week. But so the April appetites being blood, flesh, sex, and war, going to be real honest, we shoehorned that in. And after doing this movie, I kind of wish we never saw this. So I'm just putting that caveat out there now before we really get into this. And also, I know we already mentioned Vulture, but if you're watching a movie that just came out in theaters, you should expect, especially knowing our show, that there's going to be spoilers. We're going to go into whatever there is to spoil with this, because in terms of plot, this movie just plods.
What was it?
Plods along.
I don't give a fuck about spoiling fucking Crocus for people. I don't give a shit.
I'm trying to be the voice of...
We ruin everything. Always. Like, that's what a show is, Scott. What are we going to talk about then?
Can we just do the ad so we can get this over with?
Yes. All right, so just to throw out a little bit of information, because I bothered to do that, before we talk about known sex pest Jared Leto as a vampire, our director of our film today, the film again being Morcus, is Daniel Espinosa, who is Swedish but of also Chilean ancestry. He's done some actual films that got him some notoriety, which is Easy Money, Safe House, and Child 44. Safe House has Denzel Washington in it, so, you know.
Never heard of it.
It's a movie. My favorite quote from him after this movie debuted was, "I have a lot of self-hatred."
The director
yes.
said it?
Yes. He insists that he likes the movie and that mm-hmm. there's parts of it he does enjoy, but he may have made some mistakes.
Some.
The major mistake being you did a movie about a character called the Living Vampire. The Living Vampire being Morcus, taken from the Marvel website. And I like this because they give you really no degrees to understand what any of this means. He's got a durability of 5, an energy of 3, a fighting of 4, and an intelligence, speed, and strength of 4. I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't know if that means he's a cool hero or a bad hero, but that's the official thing on the site.
That's pretty decent from the Marvel.
He knows
power
the
rankings.
Answer. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd. I grew up reading comic books.
I kind of thought this was like D&D terms. Like, this is a very subpar character.
I hate all these fucking Marvel movies now that come out. I was a big Marvel fan. My favorite, funnily enough, Marvel hero was Moon Knight, who of course now has a fucking show too. Which I still don't know how I feel about that at all. But yeah, I mean, you can't get down on me for liking fucking comic books when I was younger.
No, I still own comics. I have a ton of comics. I prefer more alternative comics. Before anyone sends the angry messages, you don't like comics, you don't like Marvel. I like comics like Steve. There's a lot of Marvel movies that I actually do enjoy. I've said it before. I enjoy the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
You're not obsessed, either of you.
No.
You just enjoy it.
I just think if I have to watch 26 movies to get to a big finale, it should just be done after that. There should be no more movies, because that's
like,
a lot of movies. That's a lot of movies to watch.
Yeah, like, what are the people really invested in here? Like, is it worth this investment?
Which part of this down to like a really low price of $10 a ticket? You went to see all 26 movies before the new ones. And this is the Sony one, so no, we know that, blah, 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 blah. You're still spending $260 to go see movies. Now, it's more than that because ticket prices are like $15, $16. So it's
over the course of like a decade, though.
Yeah, over the course of a decade.
Yeah, that's not any money.
It's money that you could have spent on something better, like meth.
I meant invest in, like, at their time and their part of their...
Well, yeah.
It's just a thought.
There's enjoyable Marvel movies. I admit that.
Right, like, is it as good as it acts like it is?
No. No, they're not.
But that's the problem. That's the problem with Morpus, though, because fucking this movie was finished filming in 2019 and has been pushed back like a dozen times.
Why?
Because of various bullshit. Studio nonsense, COVID.
This is what they ended up with? Yeah. This was the end result?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think that, like, it's obviously not going to be a good movie regardless, but I think that's part of why, like, the CG is so bad and everything. But what is... Morbius is very dated in a way that is, again, it's interesting, and it's a statement I tried to start like seven times in the intro. It's dated in a very interesting way, which isn't just that it's like the CGI is terrible or whatnot. It's that for whatever you think of Marvel movies, like me, I don't think very highly of them. There is a consistent quality to them. Not that they're all like phenomenal movies or whatever, but because of the investment and the amount of people involved, we've talked about this with when we've covered other movies and we're talking about Candyman and stuff. Like, you might have a director attached to a Marvel movie, but the reality is you have that guy, and then you have like second and third units that have basically independent filming that are going on. And you have the CG units, which for certain movies like Black Widow and whatnot, they filmed they did the CG action sequences before the movie was even shot. And so the movie is like made around these sequences. So you're talking about some films that technically have like four directors and like a litany of executive producers that are reeling these things in. So that's why like the worst rated Marvel movie, like MCU movie, has been the fucking Internals. And that's got like a 57% on Metacritic, which like, it's not great, but I mean,
this got
Morbius 36. Has like a 36. Yeah. Like, so watching Morbius is like watching like the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. Like it very much so, like it's very much so untethered in a weird way from like the mainstream machine of the MCU. And it's kind of falling prey to the same mistakes that like several DC movies have made before DC kind of decided to stop trying to make a new MCU and just start making cool movies with their superheroes. So it's strange because it straddles this line of like this kind of old way. It's not part of the MCU. It doesn't have the funding. It doesn't have the same like rigorous bullshit to it. But then it tries to shoehorn some of that stuff in and doesn't quite understand like those things. Like, everyone talks about the soy bants of the MCU and like all the like the referential quippy bullshit that came from like Joss Whedon, and that's why you have like
another known mean sex pest,
right? And then like you get shit like that in like Morbius, and it just like feels fucking weird. And, like when the like fucking Matt's, you know, Doctor Who and the fucking Dallas Buyers Club like are like trying to like do witty banter at each other like while they're like doing like a horrible like ableist cripple walk down the street. Like
that scene, like, where they were walking and then they kept cutting and then they were walking, I don't know why, but that was so awkward to watch.
I've been to New York and I just feel weird. Like, if two guys that were like walking in the middle of the street would just get like, yeah, you're gonna walk around them, but yeah, I feel like a mean New Yorker would have shoved them, or no, you know, or like tripped them or something. It's so weird.
Nah, but there would have been more people staring directly at
them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I just like the fact,
like,
that
like
dying
as someone
of this
who's been
blood
to,
disease, and they're like, let's go for a walk. Like, motherfucker, you've been hooked up to an IV for the last 48 years of your life. Maybe a walk's not what you need.
I also didn't know that they went to a gifted school because. Okay, at the end, I was like, wait, like, so something like Scott's like, oh yeah, because they went to the gifted school. And I'm like, what are you talking about, a gifted school? I thought
only only Marcus did though.
I thought that they were there at that place.
Also, they both off, this is a terrible movie. It's a terrible endorsement for Greeks.
Let me finish my
They both went to blood school.
That's what I was saying. Was it a school where all the kids there have that disease?
Yes, they went to blood school.
You told me the wrong thing.
Oh, I thought it was a gifted school. I don't know, because this movie doesn't fucking explain anything. All of a sudden, they're fucking got blood diseases. Then young Matt Smith hits a kid with a crutch in the face. It's like, oh, he's the villain. And then like 30 years pass, and the one guy wins the Nobel Peace Prize of his freaking blood thing. And then the other guy, I guess, is doing some sort of living in a really cool loft, dying for forever with his friend, whose name is Dr. Nick. And they don't even do a hi, everybody. Like, you just shoehorn that fucking in there. Like, there's no reason for Matt Smith to be a villain. Besides the fact that he wears New Balance, like, trainers with, like, badly fitted suits that are only badly fitted because we're supposed to think that they don't fit him because he's, like, malnourished from being dead for or dying forever. Like, it is, like, the most ridiculous plot to have, like, oh, we're Spartans, one of the few or whatever. And, like, these guys become, like, we don't know why Matt Smith's the villain. There's like one little quip where it's like he owed some, or he beat the Russians at gambling. And you say Russians, obviously he's dealing with bad people, clearly. And that's it. And that's the only thing we know about Matt Smith's character. And then we're just supposed to be like, oh.
And that he went to blood school.
I think, well.
And he went to blood school.
Yeah, right. They both went to blood school. And then.
Is that, Steve, really, what was that supposed to be?
You're Greek.
It was blood school.
Stop. No, I didn't. I'm a weird Greek. I didn't go to blood school.
It was blood school, and then Torko went to gifted school and left.
So I'm not Doctor supposed Who. To assume that Doctor Who is smart. Also, I didn't understand why he was wealthy.
He's just British
because they don't explain it.
Like, did you look at his apartment?
Has no exposition.
Yeah, he got wealthy. No, he got wealthy. They said he got wealthy and blah blah blah. He did something.
Probably
later
in
on.
The crypto game or NFTs.
Mm-hmm.
How
you said crypto? Oh, yeah. Jenna.
Oh, no.
Jenna.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
I love
Finally
that.
Finally, she said something inappropriate.
I didn't really
that
say
cool.
it.
You implied it.
Well, I mean, just talking about crypto in general is ableist because all those guys are R-worded.
That's
Ridiculous.
My favorite thing ever.
Okay. So
I feel great. Okay.
The plot of this movie is essentially
Jenna just had like a shit ton of blueberries, so she's vibing. By the way,
yeah. she's smoking green and eating blueberries, and it's the only thing to get her to do this show. Like, this is legitimate.
Oh my god, we're only 23 minutes into
you
this.
You said you only wanted this to be 20 minutes.
I know.
Did you not? We're 3 minutes over.
It's
fuck.
Like, the plot of this movie is essentially guy takes bat DNA, becomes living vampire.
He's taking bat DNA to try to find a cure to coagulate their blood or something.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
He creates the fake blood, but the fake blood doesn't work as well as the real shit,
you know?
It
ain't doing it.
Mm-mm. And then his friend's like, I want to be that way. And his friend is apparently just like going to be a dick about it. Like, Morbius doesn't know that, you know, Doctor Who is going to become a violent villain.
How did he inject himself into his own spine?
No, Jenna, don't point out the plot holes.
Okay, all right. You
know, like, how did a man that ingested...
Maybe because he did it wrong, he became evil.
I don't even think it... So, like... The plot sketch, this is the thing I hate about, like, knowing about movies and, like, seeing, like, and being invested in a bunch of narratives. It's, like, the sketch of the plot is, like, cool and, like, very, like, classic gothic kind of thing, right? It's, like, essentially, like, scientist tries to find cure for him and his, you know, best friend, surrogate brother or whatever. He finds a cure, but it makes him a monster. brother gets mad at him because he won't give him the cure because he knows it's a curse. Brother takes it, and now the brother, you know, gets power from that, and now is becoming changed, and it's this whole thing, and it's like very kind of like, it's a classic kind of like gothic, you know, horror kind of storytelling thing. But then you watch this movie and it's all fucking like, yeah,
it had no personality. It wasn't like a brooding gothic story. The set pieces weren't interesting. The lighting wasn't interesting. You're like, you're going through New York with these detectives. So you have like this detective story, which is completely worthless.
Yeah. But that's that Marvel, that's that, not even just Marvel, that's that MCU influence. That's that, like, the very much so paint-by-numbers way that these movies get made, and that Sony was trying to ride the coattails of, because nothing was ever allowed to be, like, too scary or not action-y enough.
Right.
Or
even, like, the kiss, it was, like, lame. It was just,
oh yeah.
Okay, at least you're a vampire. Like, do something crazy.
Also, you were running away from the guys trying to kill you. Why did you stop to like have a quick kiss? Like, shouldn't you be, I don't know, trying not to die or something? But to talk about the story real quick, I want to talk about the writers of this fantastic film. The writers of the film were Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless, which are names you get.
Whoa.
Whose names you get when you join WitPro, basically. You may know them from such films as Dracula Untold, which,
hell yeah, oh my god, dude, I'm
sucks, but is at least a lot more fun than this fucking movie.
Holy shit, bro! I the second you said their names, I'm like, fuck it, let me look this up. Gods of fucking Egypt.
The Power Rangers 2017 remake.
Hell yeah.
These guys have dude, these guys must have like a cumulative Metascore of like 12.
And a cumulative IQ of 12. Like, also they were the writers and producers of the Netflix Lost in Space, which, to be fair, I watched the first season and it was tolerable. I didn't think it was crazy as everybody thought it was, or is that great. Never dared to watch the second season.
Can we stop talking about Morbius and just talk about Gods of Egypt? Because it's like one of the most fucking insane movies to ever exist.
No, we can't, Steve, because I've never seen it.
Okay, well, let me tell you about this movie.
I really think we should tell about The Last Witch Hunter of Vin Diesel.
No, this is way fucking funnier. This movie had a budget of $140 million.
That's so much money.
Lionsgate's personal financial exposure was less than $10 million, because 46% of this movie was paid for by the Australian government. It's a fantasy movie about Egyptian gods fighting each other.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And like, every single character is played by a white actor.
Yeah. Oh my god. Can we watch this?
Yeah.
Like, let's make this.
Nikolai Coster-Waldau, who played Jaime Lannister on Game of Thrones, played Horus, the Egyptian god of air.
Okay. That's the whitest guy I know. So
he is Danish.
Gerard Butler played Set, Egyptian god of the desert. Okay. Brenton Thwaites, who I've never heard of,
his
name's back.
Brenton, so that's a white
person. Chadwick Boseman as a like the lone black guy.
I see
that. Here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Was Thoth.
God of magic, if I remember.
Jeffrey Rush was Ra.
Jeffrey Rush.
Oh, he's like
the guy.
Really good actor.
Jeffrey Rush was the guy who had the tentacles in.
Yeah.
Pirates. Can we watch this in May? What's May gonna be? Let's like make a thing. Actually, May should be.
We just did folklore. We're not doing this.
Wait, shush. I decided what May is because it's my birthday month. I should get to pick every movie.
I already had a plan for May.
But I have a plan now, and it's Jenna. Happy birthday, Jenna.
Anyway, this movie lost. anyway, this movie lost $90 million.
So we need to watch. watch it. $90 million.
It's not a horror movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's just horrific.
Like action. Big budget.
Yeah, it's like a action adventure fantasy kind of movie.
You know, the sad thing is that Morbius had a budget of 75, and the box office right now is 85.9. So Morbius is technically a successful film purely by budgetary standards. That it made its money back.
Steve looks pissed about that.
I am.
They did fail, but not monetarily.
Everyone's gone crazy over Torgus, so.
Yeah.
The world is swept up in Morpomania.
Wait, people think this is a good movie?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no, there's a lot of 5-star reviews for this movie that are, like, legitimately not sarcastic, where, like, people have enjoyed this movie. The most shocking thing to me when I was looking up some stuff, besides the fact that they were able to throw enough money at a group of actors who are, for all intents and purposes, decent. The editor of the movie that put this mess together is Pietro Scalia, who is a pretty well-known...
I was going to say, wait, I know that
He's a
name.
Siciliano, like yours truly. He did such movies as JFK, G.I. Jane, not going to make a joke there, Good Will Hunting, Gladiator, Hannibal, Black Hawk Down, Prometheus, The Martian... So I have no idea who a guy who has legitimately won awards, and whether you like those movies or not, we can at least say that, you know, most of them are pretty fucking well done. How the fuck they got him to do this movie and how the fuck he put this movie together where there's legitimately just, like, nothing happening besides, like, guys growling. Like, why are two men growling at each other so much through this movie? Just like, ah!
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Ah! Like... And then we got, as soon as this line was uttered in this movie, I completely mentally fucking checked out, because it should have been like the funniest thing I've ever heard. And it was like a legitimate affront to what little sensibilities I have less. And it's when fucking Jared Leto as Morcus goes and talking about, he's like fighting the some drug dealer for whatever reason. And he says the phrase, stinky little pinky.
He's individually breaking all of his fingers, and he's trying to be like, I'm a doctor, while he does it. And he's like, don't forget the phalanges, the metatarsals, or whatever. And then he goes, and of course, the stinky little pinky.
Like, it could have been a funny line.
Evil. No, it couldn't
have.
But
it's legitimately one of the dumbest things I ever heard. I felt my IQ drop. Something was leaking out of my ear that was clearly some sort of brain fluid. And I just looked at Jenna like I just legitimately felt like I was a living vampire. I felt dead inside after hearing that fucking line.
I was vibing with my gummy worms and my Gardettos.
Living vampire.
He also said, you don't want to see me when I'm hungry.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And I was like, fucking, oh my God.
The fucking Hulk callback is like, so, like, every lame line in this movie was delivered by Jared Leto, who is supposedly... and is, for mostly, a method actor. I'm not going to shit on him too much.
Do it! He's not a good actor.
Dallas Buyers Club is not a bad movie. And
it's not good because of him.
He could have gotten a good person, you know, an actual person that is trans to play that role. Besides the point, it's not a terrible movie. But I just can't take a guy... who is in 30 Seconds to Mars, From Mars, Inside Mars, whatever it's fucking called.
Inside
Mars. Mm-hmm. I just can't take it seriously. I can't take a pretty person seriously as, like, is what's supposed to be, like, this rough and tumble,
he
undead
really
motherfucker.
He is really pretty. I told Scott when we left, I said, the one good thing about that was that it inspired me to dye my hair black, because I've been, like, really thinking about going full black, and I thought, I would look pretty like that, too.
Yeah. I just like that we did finally have a vampire with a very, like, noticeable mustache.
Oh, and then we said, what did we say? He was Morcus, and then he was Michael Jackson.
Did we?
Yeah, we said that's what
Oh, with his nose.
With the nose and
my favorite thing about this is that they were legitimately planning on doing practical effects. And I love practical effects for a lot of reasons, because they're actually real prosthetics you put on somebody. So, you know, even if it looks fucking dopey, at least your mind knows it's real. But Jared Leto said no, he didn't want to do that. So we just watched these two fucking dorks, like, hanging out in the city and watching them go from, like, little nose to Michael Jackson nose, middle nose to Michael Jackson nose, back and forth. Like, it's just, I can't conceive how anybody put this movie together and was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, done. Send it. It's good to go.
Like, this is...
Who signed off on this?
That's fucking nuts, to actually, because, like, you're talking about a guy who, like, is notorious for his method acting bullshit, and he, like, refused to, like, wear a prosthetic.
He wore prosthetics in House of Gucci.
But so why wouldn't he wear it for
He just didn't want to do it.
He didn't want
to. He thought this.
He apparently, like, pretended to, like... Like, he walked with, like, the crutches and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, like...
And
it's, like... You're only crippled, I don't want to say crippled. I don't know what else is. You're disabled. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're only disabled for like a quarter of this movie. Like what?
You could have just not shown as many scenes of them. Could have just chilled on that.
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta imagine the community of the differently abled are not gonna find Jared Leto's performance in this inspiring in any way, shape, or form. And I can't speak for them, but I gotta imagine that they're probably not super stoked that he, like, not only, like, did this, but then, like, walked around New York with, like, the double arm crutches, like... Because, like, when he's on the side of the Joker, apparently, like, he sent Margot Robbie a rat. Like, he was pretending to be the Joker. He only responded to the name Mr. J. You know, when he was in Dallas Buyers Club, he stayed in, like, drag, I guess, because he's not really technically a trans person. Or maybe he is. I don't know how the fuck his dude identifies. But, like, he stayed as that character, and whenever he was on set or anybody was you know, around, he was that character. So it was like, okay, so he's walking around with these crutches. Is he, like, just going up to people and, like, snarling at them? Like, is he, like, I don't get how you method act something that is just... completely two-dimensionally bad. Even his character in Fight Club, whose, like, role is legitimately just to have Edward Norton beat the shit out of him, is at least you can method act the fact that you're joining a fight cult. You know, maybe he did some MMA or boxing or got punched in the face a couple times. I don't get what you fucking do in this role outside of reading these shitty lines. It's fucking awful. I can't believe we paid money for this.
Well, that's the thing with method acting. Like, besides the fact that it's just fucking stupid, it's also one of those things where, like, it literally doesn't apply to everything. That's the, like, unless you're gonna, like, fucking walk, yeah, exactly like you said, walk around all day pretending that you're a living vampire, like, what is there to method act? Like,
did he drink a lot of red Kool-Aid? Like, I don't, like,
when you say it out loud, it's like, oh, yeah.
Like, you watch Taxi Driver, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's one of Scorsese's best. It's a fantastic movie. And Robert De Niro, for months, drove around New York City as a registered taxi driver and didn't reveal who he was because he wasn't super well known. He was well known, but he wasn't super well known. And drove cabs around New York and was a cabbie to get into the role of a guy that was isolated, you know, as Travis Bickle. Fantastic fucking movie. That makes complete sense to get into that like, isolated, loner, mentally deranged role. I just how do you, like, there's got to be, like, a couple screws
loose.
Well,
he's clearly pretentious, obviously.
No, yeah.
Like, that's...
But I just... How do you convince yourself? You wake up and you're like, I'm going to be Dr. Michael Morbius for the next couple months because I'm doing this movie. Mm-hmm. And how do you, like, not just laugh hysterically? Like, you're doing drugs? Is there something sedating you? Because there's no way anything, you know, you couldn't pay me money to do this. You couldn't be paying, like, Scott, you need to pretend to be Michael Morbius for a month.
Well, Scott, well, that's they paid you $1 million.
I couldn't do it because there's nothing there. There's no fucking substance.
That's the level of pretension, though, of these guys. Like, not all actors, but of a lot of them. It's seriously like a matter of like this guy like is like what everyone like jokes about thinking that actors are like.
Yes, he's like a Portlandia sketch of Hollywood. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of the way to think about
it. Yeah, like Fred Armisen's playing.
But even that. So let's jump away from Jared Leto for a moment before I fucking lose my mind. You got Matt Smith, who's a decent actor. I've watched Doctor Who. He wasn't my favorite Doctor, but he can act. You know.
Well, Doctor Who's for like dumbass little British children. So. Doctor Who's trash.
Doctor Who's fun as long as you don't interact with Doctor Who fans. Are stupid little British children.
Well, Tom Baker was the best actor.
Well, yes, but that's beside the point. You know, okay, so regardless, he can act. He's going to be in that new House of the Dragon fucking Game of Thrones spinoff, which is another bad choice by him, probably. Last night
he does look cool in those stills.
Well,
unlike,
yeah, he looks like a guy that's like, you know.
Unlike this movie where he's like wearing a bad suit and New Balances.
Yeah, he is rocking the... It's not even like sometimes like that's a vibe. Like guys that can pull that off. It was not his vibe. It wasn't working for him.
I just really like the scene where he's in his bathroom, like getting dressed, and it's him like dancing around.
I was like, this is pointless. I was hysterically laughing.
This like voice in the background is going
sex.
Sex.
Yeah, that song was so crazy.
Unfortunately, this is a movie that would have benefited like Venom with like having like a soundtrack, because at least with Venom you got a fucking Eminem song, you got a
I just said Venom in my head. Yeah. Did he make that for Venom?
Or
did
they
ask?
I don't know either way, but like Run the Jewels did a song for Venom. At least you got people with some sort of talent and there's some good. This was actually like an original score by a dude named Jan Ekstrand, who has worked with Daniel Espinosa on 7 films. And you kind of wish there was just, like, they just threw in songs.
At least to, like, get some bops in there.
Well, here's the thing. The score is completely unremarkable. It's just fucking tones. Like, here's my bat cage in my lab. Boom, boom. And it's a bunch of fucking bats flying around. Also, why the fuck do you have that many bats, bro?
I was really concerned about who was cleaning up the bat shit inside of the bat tube.
The back guano. We already know from something that's happened over the last 2 years that having pet bats probably not a good idea. Like, it just...
Oh my God.
He got a COVID thing in there. Anyway, to go on, you have Adria and Yona as Dr. Martine Bancroft.
Who?
She was in season 2 of True Detective. You'll remember her as the girlfriend of the gay cop who couldn't get a hard-on because he was gay.
That's where I knew her from.
She was also in the Belko experiment, which by comparison is a much better film. No offense to her. Now that when I looked up and remembered who she was, her same performance is just like this, which is just kind of like stoic cardboard. There's no connection between her and Jerry Leto's character.
She's beautiful, like, and I'm sure she
could she's hot.
I'm sure she could act, you know, maybe I'm not saying
chemistry.
But this wasn't
well, there was no chemistry because she's you know, a woman in her 30s. She wasn't 16. If she was 16, it would have been much different.
She wasn't giving me
Didn't give me anything. Yeah, Jared Harris, who's a fantastic fucking actor. He was Dr. Emil Nicholas, who again was a completely pointless character, but it was just like, I'm sending you to smart school. I'm going to hang out at blood school with Matt Smith's character, and I'm going to be his father figure, but he's going to kill me, and I'm going to live just long enough to say your name that you're going to hear across the city so you can come and find me and know that he killed me, and then I'll die.
Like, yeah, that whole scene when he walked in and he was like, looked dead, and then he was like, wait, no, now I'm alive for 5 seconds to tell you this important line, and then I'll die.
It's just like Shakespearean levels of exposition without the dialogue.
That made me so mad.
But Jared Harris was in Chernobyl, which was an absolutely incredible fucking miniseries.
They must have paid that guy money to do this.
I don't know if they did, But, you know, the dude's in Mad Men. He was in The Expanse. He's Moriarty and Sherlock Holmes, which those are Guy Ritchie movies. I'm admittedly a Guy Ritchie fan. I think those
movies are
fun. They're fun movies.
He doesn't do.
He was in Resident Evil Apocalypse because I've been watching the Resident Evil movies, which, by the way, I'm watching all the fucking Resident Evil movies, and those have been way more enjoyable than this piece of shit. You got Tyrese Gibson as Agent Shroud. Like, fucking poor Tyrese. Like, he was baby boy.
No, I know who Tyrese is. Like, it's just like, again, like, you didn't even do anything cool with this character.
He was just, like, mean detective. Yeah, he was bad cop.
Yeah.
He did get to the roof very fast.
Yeah.
So that was crazy.
And then you have Al Madrigal from The Daily Show, who is, no offense to anybody who likes The Daily Show, but he's a lot better at that.
Is that the other cop?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yes. He was giving me, like, oh, I'm funny guy. Like, he's a comedian, probably. Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know anything, actually. But he was giving
me. Yeah, he was doing dorky FBI agent.
He was giving me comedian vibes, but it just wasn't hitting. It wasn't landing for me.
Yeah, because there's no fucking dialogue that was written for any other character. All the dialogue was written, like,
you know what this movie
by
was?
Guys that wrote a movie called Gods of Egypt.
This movie was like white
with white people.
No, but I'm just saying this movie was just giving me white people vibes, like a white family would like this. And when I say white, I mean like practicing whites.
Practicing whites.
Like, we're non-practicing.
We are non-practicing whites. Yes.
So that's the vibe I was getting.
You look. Middle like, Eastern.
Like,
and,
they keep their salt and pepper in their cabinets, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
I know, we usually do longer episodes, but I can't say anything else besides that I hate this movie. It was the biggest waste of money. I hope everybody involved feels bad and is ashamed of themselves. I hope some of them never act again. No offense to them. I just hope they don't do it because...
No offense, but lots of offense.
Just don't do it. Like, don't do it. Rotten Tomatoes, 16% total score. 16? Average 3.8 out of 10. IMDb, 5.2 out of 10. Metacritic, 36%. Stinky little pinky aside, I think I would have legitimately rather you have kicked me in the balls than watched this movie.
Damn.
You had your chance.
Yeah, just once.
I have nothing else to say besides the fact that I severely hope, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, that Jared Leto probably either never acts again or possibly jumps in front of a moving car for doing this movie. Because I cannot tolerate the fact that this was allowed to happen. I have a feeling that there are going to be people that are going to see this that for the credit scenes alone will be excited because they'll be like, how the fuck did they put in the MCU and this SF deal together?
You said, I think this movie was made just so this other movie could be made.
Yeah.
Steve, is that a thing that happens? Or
yes and no. I literally... this is like... This whole franchise of, like, the Spider-Man adjacent movies is, like, one of the craziest examples of, like, oh, shit, we have the rights to something. What do we do with it?
Yeah.
Like, because we've seen examples.
Food in your house.
We've seen shit like that throughout history. I think we might have even covered a couple of movies like that where it's like we just had the rights to this thing and let's fucking do it. This is one of the craziest examples of that because, like, Sony has been trying desperately to, like, make there be a reason why they could still hold on. They own the IP, essentially, I think, so that at some point, because they're like, well, we have all these movies and stuff now, finally, like, besides the original ones, like, now you have to give us more money, Mouse. And I don't know if that's... And I don't know if fucking Torgus is going to really drive up the fucking price of what they have.
Sony execs are like, we got to get rid of all of these IPs, like, right now. We should distance ourselves from this. Like, they should treat this as if they made, like, an incredibly offensive movie. Because this movie is offensive, just to sensibilities. It's just... I look at the Spider-Man, and I used to love Spider-Man as a kid. The reason why Spider-Man was cool was because it was a lot like the Power Rangers, where you had these really cool villains that would show up, and they had cool powers, and maybe they get defeated, and maybe they come back, but they were, like, cool, but they weren't, there was nothing to them. Like, you're taking, you're gonna make a movie off of Madame Web, you're making a movie off of Kraven the fucking Hunter. Who is that catering to? Who out there is like, I am the biggest Kraven the Hunter fan known to man, and I can't wait for that movie. There's gotta be, like, six guys out there, and maybe one broad that are like, I can't wait for Kraven the Hunter. Like, I can't wait for Madame Web. Like, if
yeah, it's for nobody.
There's no fucking market. And you're making movies? Like, you're wasting resources to make this when you could, you know.
Dang, I, like, really wish I worked at Hot Topic still. Because I would just, oh, like.
There's going to be so many weird kids dressed as fucking Morbius walking in.
I could ask the kids. And, too, I could see if there was, like, merch, actually, for this stuff, you know? Like.
I'm sure there's t-shirts.
Do people think this is good? Who is buying this, you know? I could do some.
Final rating for me on Letterboxd was half a star. The only reason why I'm giving it half a star is because I had to give. I didn't have to give it a star, but I gave it half a star simply for the fact that the stinky little pinky line will haunt me to the end of my days. That'll stick with me. I would rather watch the third part of Erotica with the big-tittied Lady Bathory woman.
Hell yeah.
I wish they had cast...
That was more riveting.
I wish they would have cast Glenn Danzig as Morbius. This movie would have been better. Nothing good.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That would have been fucking real cool. Because Glenn Danzig somehow more likable than Jared Leto.
I think... And then they could have cast Fred Armisen.
As Rodriguez, because he kind of looks like Al Madrigal.
Boom,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, terrible, terrible fucking movie. This is legitimately, officially the worst movie we have ever covered for this show.
Oh,
I am.
Those are words.
I am.
No.
Yo, yes. This is
what
absolutely.
Veronica's definitely.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Lamb.
I would rather watch Veronica. I would rather rewatch Veronica because at least I laughed during Veronica.
Yeah, me too. I would rather
at least
that
I got to
I
see
laugh.
Some big old eyeball titties in Veronica.
Yeah.
At least
okay,
I got
so,
a giggle.
So I agree with this. I definitely would agree that I would rather rewatch Veronica. What I disagree with is that this is the worst. I mean, this is very, very bad. But you don't have shit like fucking visible.
Yeah, remember Steve has his by like emotions and then by quality.
I felt no emotions. This movie had no quality.
Saying,
there we go.
Steve is saying in terms of quality of a movie, it's not the worst.
No, it's not. It's not good. And I also gave it half of a star. But I can't say that like. It is at the end of the day, it is like a semi big budget film. Like it doesn't have like, you can't see like the top of the set and shit like you could in Veronica. Like everyone like,
I'm really surprised we did not see a fucking boom mic in one scene, at least one scene in this fucking movie.
But what I will say is this movie has no redeeming quality for viewing. There's no reason for anyone to watch this movie. It's unlike Veronica, where at least you could watch like the first 20 minutes and it'd be like funny. This doesn't even have like a factor like that. It's like not fun to watch in any way. The action sequences aren't even good.
Oh, yeah, and some of the worst combat fight scenes I've ever seen.
There's so much sliding around.
Yeah, sliding.
And here's the other thing. Unless you're a real big fan of Morbius, and this is what you've been waiting for, which again, that's no one.
Let us know if you're one of those people, please. We need to know who you are.
If you're part of Morp Gang,
Morp Gang,
please,
Morp Gang.
Please tell us that we're, you know, lying idiots, but
call us pretentious. We don't care.
But if you're part of Morp Gang, then you're probably already on a list because that means you're a Jared Leto fan. So
if you're on a couple government lists. You're probably under surveillance, and I don't know. Jenna, what did you give this? You gave this one star, well, I feel like. I saw.
Did give it one star.
You gave this the best review out of all of us.
I know, but now after I'm talking with you guys, I think I'm gonna put it to half a star. Like, not because I didn't
God we could convince you.
Not because I didn't like it already, but like
The
backstory. Like, the fact that he was method acting, that just made me so mad. And I think I gave it one star because I got to eat Gardettos and gummy worms with it, and I was like five in the movie theater. I was like living my best life. So I think I made myself have a fun experience because I'm fun and I'm awesome, but the movie sucked. So that skewed my star rating because I just was thinking about how great I am.
There is no amount of illicit substances you could have given me to make me enjoy this film. You could have given me Molly, and I still would have probably felt depressed.
So I'm gonna turn into a half star.
Thank you.
Because I said to Scott, I said I don't think I've ever seen a movie like that bad, but like so well done in the sense of the money that you could tell that was a movie that had money, right? So say in terms of the movie having money is a 10. I've never seen something with then it's so opposite. The acting is a 1, you know, like, which is like that much. Like,
yeah.
Disparity.
Disconnect.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whoa, that's what that looks like. Cool. Glad I know it. Never again, please.
I mean,
and then I told you too, I said, I literally hate. I said I hate those movies, and then I had to watch one of those dumb movies. What are these movies called?
What, Marvel superhero movie?
Yeah, these movies. I don't like any of that shit. And then this is the one I had to be subjected to. My God.
Yeah.
Stop doing. I just want to have fun, you guys.
Next week's film will be fun.
Girls just wanna.
This girl does.
Girls just want to be Yosemite Sam.
Stop.
Also, I want to say for the record, I had a lot more fun watching the previews for the movies coming out than I did for this movie as well, even though that new Jordan Peele movie looks incredibly strange.
You said, I turned you and I said,
I always love to see my close personal friend.
I said, pass. I love Kiki Palmer, and Scott was like,
it looks interesting because Jordan Peele, even like, and I didn't love Us, but like those his movies haven't been bad.
No, and then I literally said, "Don't." I said, "What are you gonna do, Steve? Explain this to me." I said, "Don't."
There's mansplaining, and then there's Steve-splaining, which is somehow worse.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is just kind of mean.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
So next week we are doing Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth. Yes, we did not do Hellraiser Part 2 because we didn't really want to, even though it's a really great sequel and it's
fun. Yeah, I like that movie.
We're going to do Hell on Earth specifically because we'll have Mr. Peter Atkins on the show.
I won't be here.
You won't be doing it. Jenna doesn't want to be on the show with a actor, director, writer because she's nervous. But it'll be me and Steve. We're going to talk to Mr. Peter Atkins about that movie and just his life. He's an incredibly funny dude. He's very excited. I was talking to him today. So that'll be interesting. I don't know how much we will actually talk about Hellraiser 3.
I also feel like I would have nothing to contribute.
That's fine. I say, I got nothing to say to you, Mr. Peter Atkins. The week after that, I persuaded Jenna to pick this for hers. And it is a terrible movie. It's a movie that Steve is not interested in doing.
Oh, perfect. Now I love
it. It is one of my favorite bad fucking movies. It is deplorable. It is pointless. And it still has a better plot than Morgus. Microwave Massacre. I covered it a little bit with the Mutant Fam. I did like a little tiny episode about this. It's so horribly inappropriate. It could never be made today. There's a lot of titties, a lot of prostitutes, a lot of cannibalism, and a lot of very, very sexist language.
Hell yeah, titties.
So fucking funny. And then we're going to end the month on what is probably going to be one of the greatest movies ever made, which is going to be Robert Eggers' The Northman. Also, I found out, and I didn't realize this, Sion is a partial writer for that, who did Clam. And I kind of feel like he's going to be really playing to his strengths with doing Norse mythology.
And... didn't you say the director? Or is that what you just said?
That's what I just said.
Okay.
Thank you for contributing.
Wait, but what I was gonna say is,
oh my god.
Just
give me your weed pen. You don't need that. You don't need that.
What I was gonna say is, you could tell by the way that it from the previews, like the film, like you could see like, oh, those pretty landscape. It kind of reminded.
Yeah, you mean there was actual like cinematography.
Yes, that's unlike, the word.
Unlike.
Yeah, it Morgus. Was. It looked really pretty already from, and it like being kind of like, and then there were parts of like.
Very, very well said.
Can you stop? I'm speaking just fine.
That week we do that episode. We're supposed to have Travis Ibarra on from another horror podcast. He's a friend of
mine.
Travis? Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I got to make sure he sees that so he can do that episode. Otherwise, we'll do another episode with him. So we got a lot in store for this month. I promise it's going to be better than these fucking movies. If for nothing else, then we really can't go much lower than. Find me at the Ghoul Daddy on the places if you want to find me. I'll probably interact with you on Twitter. I like the Twitter fans. I don't really talk to anybody else. Show at Groovy Little Pod on the places. Stay up to date. Because we did an interview with Mr. Bobby Liebling a couple weeks ago, for you fine Patreon subscribers, and I gotta say the Patreon subscribers before I get. Hang on. I forgot last week. Anyway, that episode is on our YouTube. We did make a YouTube. The YouTube's there. You can watch that interview. Completely roughly done. No editing. I threw the video up because Bobby wanted everyone to see it because it was one of his favorite interviews he's ever done. It's his words, not mine. It's up there. A bunch of people have watched that. So if you're listening, hopefully you watched it and enjoyed yourself and you keep listening to our show. And our Patreon fans are Charlie Walls, Kirk Cruz, Hex Dragon. Why is your name Hex Dragon of three X's? I don't know. Deandra Keefe. Want to make a joke there. Mike Ignacio and Robert Kujowski. We see we have a Polish person on that's a fan of the show, even though I make bad Polish jokes.
I love Polish people.
And Steve, I'm assuming Root Speaker, find him. He does music. He does stuff. He hates his life right now because we did this movie and he wants to go to bed.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I've just been playing Elden Ring. I'm not even listening anymore.
Did you make a music playlist for this? Or were you?
I have not
I think
yet. I'm going
to. Be Cradle of Filth songs.
I think that Steve should make one for what the movie should have done.
It's just going to be a bunch of 30 Seconds Tomorrow songs. The only 30 Seconds, by the way, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then I just don't care anymore. The only 30 Seconds Tomorrow song I like is the one that they use in the trailer for Legends of the Guardians, Owls of Ga'Hoole. Remember that movie?
No.
But the owls, but the cool owls.
The cool owls?
Yeah, it's a CGI movie. But else. Oh, I found a bunch of rats.
Stay groovy. Don't see this movie, folks. Please.
Morbius.